Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Tim shares the Word of God. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Tim with today's message.
The dictionary gives us a definition of the word judge, and it says a person qualified to decide on the worth of anything, to determine the winner or settle a controversy, or to form an opinion about. The title of today's message, and it's going to be a two-part message because I already know I can't finish, so we're going to pick up next week. Don't miss next week. It'll be really good next week. I'm going to practice this week. The title of today's message is Right Judgment. Right Judgments. What does the Bible say about the word judge? What does the Bible say about making judgments? Go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Hold your place in Matthew chapter 7 because we're going to continue to come back to that chapter. Matthew chapter 7, do not judge others and you will not be judged. Without a doubt, the most known scripture in the whole world. Everybody knows this one. You judging me? You're not supposed to judge. Bible says don't judge. Everybody in the world knows Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. And regretfully, the word in the Greek that is used here is translated as the word judge. And we use this one verse to convince everybody to allow you to participate in whatever kind of lifestyle you choose to participate in. Any constructive criticism offered by anybody is quickly met with, don't judge me. Who are you to judge me? No one has the right to judge me. As we read Jesus' teaching here, we see that he is telling us not to look down our nose at others and to think that we're better than somebody else. Let's read. Do not judge others and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others, the standard you use in judging, the standard by which you will be judged. Verse 3. Why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. He's talking about don't act like you don't have any problems. Don't act holier than thou and like you are better than everybody else and that you don't have any problems. You have never made any mistakes and you're criticizing somebody else. But as far as don't make a judgment on people, verse 6, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample your pearls and then turn and attack you. As far as making judgments, verse 6, who's holy and who's pig? We got to make a judgment here. The only way you don't throw your pearls before swine is to make a judgment on who's swine. So you can't say, are you judging? Well, that's exactly what I'm doing because I've got to decide who is holy and who's swine. Verse 15, the same teaching here. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. Once again, we're required to make a judgment. Who is a false prophet? Who is a harmless sheep? Who is disguised in wolf clothing? In fact, as we study the Bible, we find the Bible full of making judgments on people. The wheat and the chaff, the good figs, the bad figs, the believer, the unbeliever, the righteous, the unrighteous. Proverbs has a lot to say on making judgments where people are concerned. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, it says, don't bother correcting fools. They'll just hate you. Correct the wise and they'll love you. Well, to do that, you got to make a judgment on who's a fool and who's wise. Proverbs 13, 20, walk with the wise and become wiser. Associate with fools and get in trouble. To do that, You have to make a judgment on who is wise and who is fool. Don't you love Proverbs? Proverbs 17:16. It is senseless to pay to educate a fool. Well, to do that, you're going to have to make a judgment on who's a fool. Not only is the Bible full of making judgments on people, the Bible is full about making judgments on choices. There's a right and there is a wrong choice. And you need to make a judgment on that choice. There is a good choice and there's a bad choice. There are blessed choices and there are choices that bring you under a curse. There's strong warnings. Careful. There are choices that seem right, but the end bring death. There are choices that look delicious, that are appealing to the eye. There are choices that are desirable. The dictionary gives us the definition of the word judge: a person qualified to decide the worth of anything, to determine the winner or settle a controversy, or to form an opinion about. Today, we're talking about making right judgments. And you are called on to make judgments. You have to be the judge. You have to make right judgments. Well, what settles a controversy between two opposing opinions? The ability to debate. Whoever is the best debater comes up the winner of the argument. Is that how we decide what is the best way to go? Because who can debate the best? Who are you to decide right and wrong? Well, I think this is okay. I can think this is fine. Who are you to tell me what is right and what is wrong? Who are you to determine good or bad? Jesus calls us throughout the New Testament to judge. The Apostle Paul, all through the Pauline epistles, calls us to judge. Countless places we could turn to. Go toward 1 Timothy chapter 1. I just want to read a few scriptures today. Countless places we could read. But I want you to see this toward the back of your Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. For we know that the law is good when used correctly. For the law was not intended for people who do what is right. It was intended for lawless and rebellious who are ungodly and sinful, who consider nothing sacred and defile what is holy, and who kill their father or mother and commit other murders. Verse 10, the law is for people who are sexually immoral or who practice homosexuality or slave traders, liars, promise breakers, or do anything else that contradicts the wholesome teaching. Church, there is a right way and there is a wrong way. And the scripture is very clear on this. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they reject the power that could make them godly. Look at this. Stay away from people like that. You got to make a right judgment. And young people, you will never go anywhere successful hanging around unsuccessful people. You will never make right decisions hanging around people who are constantly making wrong decisions. You will head in the wrong way when you are hanging with people who are going the wrong way. And you have to make a judgment on people and on decisions. They are not going the way that I want to go, and I am not going to associate myself with them. You're going to have to make a right judgment, or your life will end up in trouble. A few more pages. Flip over, go to Titus. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. If people who are causing divisions among you, first, give a first and a second warning. After that, having nothing more to do with them. Are you judging me? Sure am. It's exactly what I'm doing. I'm called on to. And the way I see you going, you're not going the direction I'm going, and so I'm not going to associate with that. It's very foolish for you to think that the Bible teaches don't judge. It's very foolish for you to think that the Bible says don't judge, don't judge, don't judge, when it tells you at every turn to make a judgment and to line yourself up with the right direction. Success or failure of your life is 100% dependent on your judgment about people and about choices. Well, Tim, bad things happen to people that have no choice in it. It's their judgment on how they respond to what happens to them that determines success or failure. I mean, we could all go in and add to this list. Joni Erickson Tata, paralyzed from the neck down, has a worldwide ministry. Dave Reber had a hand grenade go off in his hand, blew his hands and his fingers and his face and his ears off, has a worldwide ministry. Nicholas Vucic, born with no arms and no legs, has a worldwide ministry. Randy Bird, paralyzed from the neck down, worldwide ministry. I mean, making great strides for the furtherance of the gospel and people's lives. See, the success of your life depends on you making right judgments about other people, about situations, and making right judgments about your own life. Judgments. The success of your life depends on you making right judgments. Judge. A person qualified to decide the worth of anything. Is this worth my time? Judge. To determine a winner or to settle a controversy. Judge, to form an opinion about. We're talking today about making right, godly judgments. And here's the best thing about God. He created us and he placed us on earth with the ability to judge. He said, now you choose. You choose. Always know that you can make a judgment based out of anger, out of frustration, out of lust, out of greed, or you can make a judgment that is biblically wise. You're going to form an opinion. What's going to direct your judgment? What's going to direct your judgment as you are called on each and every day for you to be the judge? The great thing about God is not only has he told us to judge, but he's also given us the right answer. I set today before you life and death. Here's the right answer. Choose life. Choose life that you may live. What is the right choice? How do I make right choices? We're talking today about right judgments. How do I know which is the right one? Especially since there are ways that seem to be right, but in fact, they're not right. How do I make right judgments? Go to Matthew chapter 7. In the same place that Jesus is telling us to judge, he also teaches us how to make right judgments. Verse 16, you can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from a thorn bush or figs from a thistle? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Verse 19. So, every tree that does not produce good fruit, the government should just continue to give more money to that program. No, wait. I lost my track. Every tree that does not produce good fruit is what? Chopped down and thrown into the fire. We don't continue to throw more and more money into programs and into areas that are clearly bearing no fruit. Well, how do you know what is a good and a bad program? By the fruit. By the fruit that it is bearing. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Are you judging me? It's exactly what I'm doing. I'm looking at your actions and I'm seeing the fruit that is being manifest in your life, and it's not good. Therefore, what you're doing is the wrong way. Those are the wrong decisions. Those are the wrong choices. When you have two political parties and they're on TV in championship wrestling, you know, this fighting and arguing, debating back and forth, and one says this is an apple tree and one says this is an orange tree, and they're arguing and they're fighting, and you've got a monitor here in the middle in blonde hair with a glass top where you can see up her dress, and she's going back and forth between this one it says it's an apple tree, this one it says it's an orange tree, this one says apple, this says orange. You know, we can stop all of this. I can tell you whether it's an apple tree or an orange tree. How? By looking at the fruit. By looking at the fruit. I don't care how well you argue your point. Is it working? Is that working? We can stop all of this debate and all of this arguing if we would make judgments based on fruit. Does it work? And somehow, as we have walked away from biblically minded leadership in this nation, we've got people leading our nation making decisions not based on any fruit whatsoever, just based on somebody's idea. Does it work? Does it produce good fruit, or does it produce bad fruit? As we're teaching how to think biblically, let's take the three leading controversial issues in America right now. Now, God didn't create us and put us on earth to suffer from bad choices. And he didn't leave it up to political parties to discuss and argue and debate. He told us how to make right decisions. How do we make right decisions? Let's look at the fruit. Three leading controversial issues. First, health care. When the government had nothing to do with it, it was completely privatized. Insurance was a private matter totally. Quickly, this nation produced the greatest health care that the world has ever known. It just quickly. Some 50 years ago, laws were passed. Government got involved, and it started mandating that businesses buy health insurance for their employees, which created a third-party spending, and third-party spending never works. It's impossible for it to work. So then the government gets more and more involved. Look at the nations that have socialized medicine, where the government completely runs the medical part of their nation. You know, what always amazes me is those nations that have socialized medicine, their sheiks get on their private jet and fly over here when they've got a bad disease. But let's go that way. Let's go that way because it's a good idea. And so more and more we are going toward governmental control in our health care and not privatize it. Let me ask, is it working? Let's don't argue about it. Is it working? Now we have a 3 or 4 hour wait in emergency rooms. We never had that before. Let me just ask, your latest doctor's visit, was it informative and helpful, or did you leave so frustrated you wanted to cry? I mean, just the whole system is frustrating. I mean, are we going in a right direction or a wrong direction? Let's look at the fruit. Next controversial issue that we're arguing is immigration. America has always had immigration. There's always been a legal way with legal requirements. And immigrants always have come to this nation. There were things they had to learn. They had to pass a test showing that they understood how our government operated. They had to learn to speak English. And people came from all over the world, and this nation prospered, and they prospered. Our immigration program bore great fruit. And the fact is, unless you are an American Indian, you are an immigrant into this country. That was too restrictive. It was too controlling. Let's just open the borders with no restrictions, no requirements, no education, no testing. We want to be open to everybody. We've been open to everybody. Let's just do it the right way. No, that's too controlling, too restrictive. Now, is this working? Look at our crime. Look at our education rate. Look at our economy. Just look in our nation at where we are as opposed to where we were. Is what we're doing working? The third controversial issue, welfare. And we've got two opposing arguments trying to fight over this issue. For hundreds of years, this country operated, if you don't work, you just don't eat. And you don't have to work. That's the way we operated. And we built the greatest economic nation in the history of the world with very simple. If you don't work, then you don't eat. If you don't have a job, then you're not going to have anything. That's too hard. That's too mean. No American should be hungry. No American should be without a large screen TV and a cell phone. No American should not have an iPhone and a computer. No American shouldn't have two or three cars. No American shouldn't be able to cash in their food checks for money so that they can go to the gambling boats and gamble. I mean, my goodness, everybody needs to. No American. And so here we are. I'm just asking. Now that we're three or four generations into this, are those people harder workers? Are they better educated? Are they more responsible parents? Are they more prosperous? Is what we're doing working? Is what we're doing, let's don't argue about it. Jesus said, you will know if this is good or if it's bad by the fruit that it produces. We can talk about the three most controversial issues in America today, or we can talk about us as individuals. To judge means to form an opinion, to settle a controversy. Number one, we're to judge. Number two, Jesus told us how. We look at the fruit. Let's take you being a part of this church. Here we all are. We're sitting here. Let's use this. You came to this church. The first time you came, you absolutely loved it. You were swept off of your feet. This was the greatest church in the world. And going to church one time is like going on a date one time. You swept off your feet, you're crazy about her, until you get to know her. After you're here a short time, there's a sermon preached that you don't like. There's a song sung that you disagreed with. There's a decision made that you're just not sure about. And now you have to make a judgment. Leave or stay? What is the right judgment? For you to leave because there was a song we sang and you didn't like. So are you going to leave or are you going to stay? What is the right judgment? See, you don't make a decision based on an event that happened. You make a decision in your life based on fruit. You make a decision in your life based on fruit. And over the years, countless people have told me, Tim, my life has changed. My kids have changed. Our finances have changed. My marriage has changed. Countless people have told me this is the greatest church in the world. And one thing happens they don't like and they're gone. That judgment is not based on fruit. That judgment is not based on fruit, but it's based on emotion. And if you continue to make judgments in your life based on emotion, you will continue to reap the failure in your life caused by wrong judgments that are emotionally led, not fruit led. It's the same with your school, the job, your marriage. Things happen you don't like. Be careful that you don't make the wrong judgment. It won't work and it'll cost you greatly. A decision based on the moment, a decision based on the event. Always make a judgment, not on the event, but on the fruit. I see what this school is producing. I see long term what it is producing in my child's life. Right now, I am furious with this teacher and I'm so upset I could bite the head off of a nail. But I make a decision based on the fruit over a long term, not on how angry I am right now. I see what a stable, consistent marriage produces in everybody's life in the family. And so I make a right judgment based on that, not based on how mad I am with my wife right now. I am mad, I am furious, I am incensed. But I judge and make a judgment on fruit, not on a whim, not on an emotion, not on an event that just happened. Seeking personal happiness, seeking personal pleasure, money, greed, selfishness, drugs, alcohol. I mean, there's no fruit in that. Greedy people are the most unhappy people in the world. Selfish people are very unhappy. Giving people are always happy. I've talked with many alcoholics. I've talked with many, many drug addicts. And they're never thrilled with their life. I've never met an alcoholic yet that said, I am so happy being an alcoholic. I enjoy where I am. And I've never met one yet, not one. There's no fruit in that life. So why would I head down that path? See, there is a way that looks fun, that seems right, that looks good, but I've got to make decisions based on fruit. Argue and debate over the definition of marriage. Who is right? Who is right in this definition of marriage? Who are you to put your definition on me? Who's right? Jesus said, just look at the fruit. Look at dropout rates in high school statistics. Look at test scores in school. Look at mental health problems and statistics. Look at prisons and statistics. All studies, not a little, but in the high 90 percentile, show one mom, one dad at home at night with a bedtime every night. Compare that statistic for dysfunctional homes and families and kids that don't even know who their dad, who their mom is, and they're just raised by whoever comes down the road. Statistically, look at any area you want to look at. Well, who are you to tell me what's right and wrong for marriage? I'm just telling you, look by the fruit. Look by the fruit of what a home biblically centered produces, and dysfunctional homes where you're producing gang members and looters and crime, and just go to the prisons. There is a high 90% commonality in there, and it is the brokenness of a home. That what defines the marriage. You look at fruit. Matthew chapter 7. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So, every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Whether we are debating governmental issues and programs, or whether you are looking in areas of your own personal life, don't justify, don't rationalize, don't argue. Look at the fruit. Is this working? Is what we're doing working? And if it is not, don't spend more money on it. You saw it down. Boom. It falls and you put it in the fire. This is not complicated. Look at all of the statistics. Look at the studies on children, on students, on teens that are raised in a stable home with a mom and a dad, and compare those with all studies on modern families and tell me which way bears fruit. Before you write it down in ink and you go with it, God's given us the answer key. My boss isn't paying me enough, and I deserve more. I'm going to turn in 8 hours on my time when I was only there 6 hours. I understand how you came up with that. Now I'm asking you to judge it. Judge that. When all of that comes to the surface, and it will that produce the fruit that you're looking for in your life? My wife is not meeting my needs. I deserve to have my needs met. Here is a woman that I work with that is more than willing to meet my needs. Look here, I fully understand how you came up with all of that. I'm just asking, will that produce the fruit that you are looking for in your life? The teacher made me so mad, I'm taking my kid out of this school. The coach made me so mad, I'm pulling him off the team. When you do, ask yourself where you're going to find a perfect teacher. When you jerk your kid off of this team and take him out, find a perfect coach and call me. I sure would like to know his number. Are you kidding me? You don't make a decision based on anger and based on a whim. You make a judgment based on fruit. Is this teacher, is this school, is this coach, is this job producing what I want to produce in life? The boss made you mad. Be careful. Look at the fruit that that job provides, and look at the fruit that will be gone if you quit. Each day you're faced with making judgments. Your success or your failure depends on you making the right judgment. The teacher's not looking, cheat on the test. My parents won't know, so you go and do it. The cops aren't around, that's a good time on this straightaway for you to find out what this car will do. The title of today's message is Making Right Judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 said, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged by God. It's not your wife finding out that you need to be concerned about. It's not your parents finding out that you need to be concerned about. It's not your teacher finding out that you need to be concerned about. You want to make right judgments so God won't have to judge you. I've met a lot of Christians, people who have made Jesus Lord of their life, and I've never, ever met one that is sad that they did. I've met a lot of Christians who are huge financial givers. They give large amounts of money to the activities and the furtherance of the church. And I've never, never, one time ever met anybody that was sorry that they were a huge financial giver. I've met a lot of people that have a great relationship with the Lord through prayer. And I've never yet met somebody that begrudged the hours they spent praying and the time they spent with the Lord. You know, I've met a lot of people that were alcoholics and they were sad that they ever took the very first drink. You know, I've met a lot of people that are drug addicts and they're sad that they ever experimented with it the very first time. I've met people that have had an affair and they're really sorry they did that. Met people that have had abortions and, you know, that's something they wish they wouldn't have done in their life. Here's what you need to do. Make judgments based on fruit. Based on fruit. Is it a good idea or is it a bad idea? Should we legalize it? Should we not legalize it? Is this what we ought to do? Is this not what we want to do? Let's just ask people who have done it. Let's look at the fruit that it produces. Let's judge the statistics. Make right judgments. Not by whim, not by emotion, not if it seems right, but make right judgments in your life by if it produces fruit. Y'all stand. Lord, help us as we live our life making right judgments. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for all the dumb things we've done, all the wrong judgments we've made. And Lord, as we roll up our sleeves and wash our mind with your word, that we live the rest of our life making right judgments that will be beneficial to the furtherance of your will on this earth. We honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.